This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وموالاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a juz a day. Today we are covering the 8th juz of the Quran. The 8th juz of the Quran begins with Surah number 6, Ayah 111, Surah An'am, Ayah 111, and ends with Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 87. Surah A'raf, Ayah 87. So it's 6, 111 to 7, 87. So that is the juz, and it, as you can see, has the concluding part of Surah An'am in it, which comprises roughly about half of this juz, and the beginning part of Surah Al-A'raf, which is the other half of this juz, inshallah. Surah Al-A'raf is actually long surah, so it will continue on in the ninth juz for most of the ninth juz as well. Okay, with that introduction, let us get into the this very beautiful juz, and let us pick up from this part, ayah number 109. The last two ayat of the previous juz, because they connect to the beginning of the next juz. And it, you know, in the spirit of keeping things cohesive, we need to, and in context, we need to take this into consideration. So let's start from there, ayah 109. وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ لَيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُشْعِرُكُمْ أَنَّهَا إِذَا جَاءَتْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They swear a solemn oath by God that if there should come to them a sign, they will believe in it. Say, signs are granted only by God. How can you tell that if a sign be given to them, they will indeed believe in it? This is such a, you know, this is a very beautiful ayah that speaks about the claim of Quraysh, which is really an excuse. It's a ruse that they're using to say, this is why we don't believe, because we haven't seen some supernatural miracle. Okay, and if we were to see one, then we believe. And Allah says, well, the response that Allah gives to them is, yes, the signs are sent by Allah. It's His choice. It's not the Prophet. He cannot summon a miracle. It is Allah who gives a miracle to the Prophet. The Prophet himself cannot summon it. إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And then, flipping it onto them, how can you be certain? Or how can we be certain in this situation that the one who's demanding for the sign is going to believe in it once he gets it, once he sees it? Maybe he's going to explain it away. And then, you know, it goes out the window, just like all the other amazing signs of Allah these people have thrown out the window. وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ. We will turn away their hearts and their eyes from the truth. كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, since they refuse to believe in it in the first instance. And we will let them wander blindly in their insolence. This is the truth. They turned away from it. They did not want to believe, the pagans of Mecca. And this applies to anybody else, by the way, who has a interaction with the truth, who comes to that moment where they are grappling with the purpose of their life, and then they choose just the pleasures of this world, or they choose the status quo, and that is their choice. And that choice, often, you know, if they have made up their mind on that choice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then make up His decision accordingly as well. وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Even if we send down angels to them and cause the dead to speak to them. وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى. وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا. And we gathered together everything in front of them. مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. Do you think they'll believe? at that point, and all these things have happened. Angels are coming. Dead people are coming out of their graves. Everything they wanted is now coming in front of them. Do you think these people will believe at this point? مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا They still would not believe. This is the thing. That is the true answer. The one who is asking for miraculous, you know, signs summoning them and wants, you know, these supernatural tricks to be convinced that there is a God is blinded first and foremost by their own prejudices, their own biases, their own lack of, you know, desire for the truth, their own desire for materialism or any other, you know, any reason thereafter. But the point is they're blinded by it. They still will not believe unless God so had willed, but most of them behave ignorantly. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the people of Quraysh. The Quran also speaks about why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let people oppose the prophets. The prophets are the best of people, the best of humanity. The Prophet Muhammad was the best of all humanity. Yes, how come these people are opposing him? How come for many years they persecuted the Prophet's followers? How come? وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ In like manner, we have assigned for every prophet an opponent, Satans from among men and jinn, who make evil suggestions to each other by means of specious words in order to deceive. زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا Words that are very enticing and very beautiful. They use these enticing, beautiful words to support each other to oppose the messengers. Okay, look at what this ayah says. Shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. Wow. Satans from among men and jinn. Because sometimes human beings also act like the devil. Sometimes that is the case. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he allows these people to exist. He allows them to say what they have to say. He allows them to, you know, flourish even and dominate even at times. He says he has done that. جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ We have assigned it. We let it happen. We made it so. And he says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ Hypothetically. لَوْ is for a hypothetical. Okay? لَوْ means a hypothetical situation. Had it been your Lord's will, they would not have done so, right? Hypothetically, God could have just put an end to all these people and let the prophet flourish, you know, unharmed. فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ So leave them alone to their fabrication. The idea of evil, why does it exist in the world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if he wanted to, he could have put an end to it, but he lets it take place. He lets it take place. And he lets the battle between good and evil take place. And he supports the good by sending prophets and messengers and by sending revelation. Okay? But just like anything, it's cyclical. Good will prevail and then bad will prevail at times. And that does not show the weakness of good or the strength of evil or vice versa. That just shows this is the nature of life. This is how Allah has meant it to be. Had he wanted to, he could have suppressed it. He could have put evil away for good and let the good flourish. But he chose. That was his choice. That's how he set it up. And we'll talk about this. This connects to our next surah very beautifully. The story of Adam and the devil, Iblis. The problem of evil started for humanity from that moment. Okay, so this is the thing. Allah said he let it happen. And then there's also another reason why he let it happen. وَلِتَصْخَى The lamb is the reason why this is happening. In order that the hearts of those who do not believe in the life to come might incline towards those suggestions. وَلِتَصْخَى إِلَيْهِ أَفْئِدَةُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَلِيَلْضَوْهُ And they would be pleased. وَلِيَقْتَرِفُ مَا هُمْ مُقْتَرِفُونَ And they would persist in their sinful ways. The people inclined towards evil, when they see evil, you know, that their hearts will now start to incline towards it. And they would be happy with it. This is the thing that they are comfortable, this is what they like. And they would then persist in those evil ways. This evil is set up as a test for humanity. There is the, you know, the heads of evil, right? aduwan shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, the satans from among men and jinn, Allah has set them, has allowed them to live. And at the top of them all is Iblis, as we're going to talk about his story today. Yes? But this, these leaders of evil, you see, they are there. And one of the reasons Allah allows the evil to be to exist is so that the people whose hearts are inclined towards it will become clear, and they will become distinct from those whose hearts are inclined towards good. Thus bringing the reality of the test of life, you know, to the forefront here. The reality that this life is a test, and these forces of evil are a test. That is the Quran's explanation for this. And Allah says, if he wanted to, he could have put an end to it all. But that was his choice, because that's how he set up the test of life for everybody. For those who are inclined towards the truth, for those who are inclined towards evil, and everybody in between, that's how he set up the test of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Okay? And he says, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صَدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The word of your Lord is perfected in truth and justice. Okay? This is how it is. No one can change his words. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. You can't go and ask him to redesign the world. You cannot go and ask him to redesign the universe or how he set this whole thing up. That's his choice. There's no one who's going to change that. He's just telling us how it is so we can be prepared to deal with it. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the all-knowing and all-hearing. And on the idea of evil, if you were to obey, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you were to obey the majority of those on earth, they will lead you astray from God's way. It's not always, that the majority isn't always right. In fact, sometimes the majority could be a mob. And as we'll see in the next surah, instances where the minority was right, the Prophet and his followers, and the majority was a mob coming after them, without any, almost losing their rationality. They follow nothing but conjecture. They're only guessing. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions eating from halal. فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Excuse me. Eat then only that over which God's name has been pronounced if you truly believe in his revelations. Here, the concept of submitting to Allah. Again, there is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The theme of this surah has been recognize Allah and worship him exclusively. Recognizing Allah, these are the things that we do to understand the reality of life, the reality of good and evil. This is a conceptual thing. The practical aspect of the deen is quite simple, right? You do what's halal, you stay away from what's haram, and that's how we express our submission to Allah. The simplest way of doing this is eating from what Allah has made halal. The fa there is to connect the concepts, right? That fa is to connect the two concepts. Your submission is not predicated on some great, theological or philosophical understanding. Your submission is predicated on how you act on a day-to-day basis. And that's a simplified thing. Eat what's halal. Stay away from haram. Stay away from major sins. Do the pillars of Islam. That's it. You've attained paradise if you live like that. Alhamdulillah. So this, as Allah is trying to unwrap the ruse of disbelief, he also simplifies for the believers how to proceed and live their lives. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example here of or talks about the idea of food. In fact, let's go to ayah number 100. Let me find ayah here. قُلْ لَأَجِدُ فِيمَا أُوحِيَ. Ayah number 145, just to tie the two concepts together. قُلْ لَأَجِدُ فِيمَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا. Say, O Prophet, in all that has been revealed to me, I do not find a ban on anything to eat. Nothing is haram except the following. You see, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining the deen. Everything is permissible, lawful, good to consume from the creation of a creature of Allah, except these things that are haram. Okay, carrion, which is roadkill, flowing blood and pork, and all فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. Right? Why is pork, haram? فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. It is unclean, or it is, impure. That's the reason the Quran gives for pork being impure. And also, in fact, for all of these things before as well. دَمًا مَسْفُوحًا, flowing blood, it has carries bacteria and is impure. مَيْتَ is where the animal has died of some reason and it was not sacrificed. And again, any diseases that it may be carrying or any infections that might be there are contained within. And that is, again, something that makes it unclean and impure. That's physically, but also spiritually. فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. That's the reason. أو فِسْقًا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. What's haram? Also, it's فِسْقًا. Something that is profane. Something that is, outrageous. That was sacrificed in the name of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This may be a halal animal, a halal chicken. A chicken is halal. But if they sacrifice in the name of other than Allah, it becomes a profanity. It becomes, an abomination, because you've taken the life of this chicken. You've taken the life of this chicken in the name of someone who didn't give it the life that it had. That's why we say Bismillah when we sacrifice our food, because we're taking this life in the name of the one who made this chicken. And by the permission of the one who made this chicken. That's why we're saying that. And we say Bismillah when we eat to remind ourselves of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now if you were to do this in the name of something else or someone else, that becomes an abomination. Of course, the religion carries nuance. فَمَنْ اِطْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If anyone is forced by necessity or being neither disobedient nor exceeding the limit, then surely your Lord is most forgiving and most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands extenuating circumstances, and He has listed them here. Okay. Also, I want to highlight a couple of things here. Ayah number 125, we can flip back to it. A very beautiful example of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to guide, right? Those who have tasted the sweetness of iman. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. When God desires to guide someone, He opens His breast to Islam. His chest expands, okay? What the idea of the chest expanding is, your worries are like melting away. You are finding peace and tranquility. Things are making sense to you. That's the idea of the chest expanding. يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ. Because when something expands, it becomes spacious. It becomes comfortable. That's what is the experience when someone becomes, when they are guided to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ. And the contrary, whoever he wills to let go astray. يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. He causes his chest to be constricted. As if كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, as if he had to climb up in the skies. Of course, when you go up, ascend the skies, or go to a higher altitude, there's less oxygen, so your chest naturally constricts, your lungs, shrink a little bit, because the capacity of you to hold oxygen shrinks, or is reduced. That's what the ayah is saying. Subhanallah, this is a very beautiful example. That's what happens, things become tight. Even if a person's enjoying themselves, right, the pleasure that comes from understanding, the ease that comes from understanding the purpose of life and being committed to that, outweighs and trumps all of the other materialistic pleasures. And the one who is caught up in that is essentially doing this to make themselves forget about the constriction that they are feeling. يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, like the one who is ascending through the skies. كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ رِجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And that is how God heaps ignominy upon those who refuse to believe. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's go back to that passage where we were speaking about ayah number 145, the things that are halal, right? In this passage, Allah mentions also that some of the some things were made haram for the Jews. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي ظُفُرٍ. And this is, as we mentioned, was a reason. The reason for this loss of blessing was their entitled attitude and their ungratefulness. Now, what's interesting is this ayah was revealed in Mecca. And Mecca, there weren't very many Jews. The Jews actually lived in Medina. The Jews that came to Mecca came on like a business trip or some small trade here or there, and then they would basically leave. Or if they were living, they were very, very small, almost like insignificant number of people. There was not a community of the Jews. that was in Medina. What's interesting is the Quran in Mecca is commenting on the specific aspects of Jewish law. The specific aspects of Jewish law. And that again tells you the Prophet ﷺ did not have these like access to these resources available to him, right? You could say, oh, if it's in Medina, maybe he got it from the Jews in Medina and then he imported it into the Quran. Clearly not, because in Mecca he didn't have access to this kind of information, okay? And it wasn't like he was leaving Mecca, going somewhere and studying and coming back. The Prophet ﷺ was stationed in Mecca the whole time. People were coming to him on pilgrimages and whatnot. So this is the interesting thing I wanted to point out here as well. And the Quran says this was a penalty that we imposed upon them for their disobedience. And we are assuredly true to our word. Again, the penalty of disbelief was a loss of blessings. So this is something we have to think about. The sin brings with it loss of blessings. That is a important Quranic idea and construct. If they accuse you of lying, look at this ayah. It's coming right after the ayah that speaks about Jewish law. If they accuse you of lying, فَقُلْ رَبُّكُمْ ذُو رَحْمَةٍ وَاسِعًا. Say the mercy of your Lord is all encompassing, and his punishment though, وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُهُ عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. His punishment cannot be averted from sinful people. Okay, some excuses, some more excuses of Quraysh. What are they? سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. These are like the reasons that Quraysh gave. And to be very honest, this is the same reasons that the atheists today would give for their disbelief. Oh, why is there evil in the world? We spoke about that, right? In the beginning of this juz. سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا. Had our those who associate partners with God will surely say, had God pleased, neither we nor our fathers would have served other gods beside him. Hey, what about this free will? Are we like predisposed to evil? Do we have choice? Do we have free will? Are we is our future and our choices determined by our nature and our nurture? Same type of things that the atheists say, but with more fancy jargon. Yes, but you cut down all the jargon and this is what it is, right? It's not really our fault. We're just product of our society. Our nurture, right? The society around us is what Allah made us worship idols. What's our fault? Same exact thing that the atheists would say today. وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Nor would we have made anything unlawful. كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا. The Quran's answer is very cuts to the chase. Likewise, those who lived before them argued falsely until they came to taste our punishment. This is an age-old argument. And this is a false argument. The one who's making it deep down, if they're sincere and truthful, knows that this is a cop-out more than anything else. Okay? قُلْ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ عِلْمٍ فَتُخْرِجُونَهُ لَنَا. Say, have you any knowledge? If so, produce it before us. You follow nothing but conjecture and you are merely guessing. This is such a tired... It's a tired excuse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even dignify with a response. He just says this is the same nonsense that people before would say. And there is actually is there any factual basis to this? And if you don't have any factual basis for this, you're following conjecture. But something to think about, right? Look at this ayah. God alone has the conclusive proof. قُلْ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. This is where, this is a very beautiful, al-hujjat al-baligha, the conclusive, QED proof, right? If you know that from logic, that's what it is, hujjat al-baligha. Okay, that's the name of Shah Waliullah's book as well. And this is a very beautiful expression because it's like absolutely irrefutable proof. فَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. If he had willed, he could have guided you, every one of you. And again, law here is hypothetical. You're saying, you're blaming your choices on your society. Oh, we were nurtured to worship God, worship other idols, right? That's how, we were a product of our society. Yes, that's what the excuse is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, if he wanted to, hypothetically, he could have guided you all. But that's not what he did. And the reason why he did not do that is because there is accountability on the individual. There's accountability on the individual. An individual is held accountable وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Nobody carries another person's burdens. That means you cannot blame another person for your mistakes and your sins. You can't do that. Okay? This is what we will see as we come to the story of Adam and Iblis. This is one of the tricks of the devil. He would, you know, try to just say collectively, you're all, this is not our fault. This is someone else's fault. This, at the core, was what Iblis did. Yes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to it with a very beautiful response. If he wanted to, he could have just guided you all, right? What's left of the test? But the test is, you are your fitrah. Allah has given you, each and every one of us, each and every single human being, a moral compass. Just like the compass turns towards the north, always like snaps towards the north, every human being's moral compass is looking for Allah, their creator. Whichever language they speak, whatever part of the world they may be in, this is how we are created. And we're going to learn about that tomorrow, inshallah. But what's interesting here, brothers and sisters, is this idea of a moral compass that we're all programmed to look for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the idea that he is telling us here, that your society may be corrupt. You might be surrounded by idol worshippers, but your moral compass was intact inside of you. And you, it's the onus is upon you to go and pursue it. And the example was given of Ibrahim. Just yesterday, we learned the example of Ibrahim when he went through the process of elimination about why this can't be God, this can't be God, this can't be God. You see, that is given to us all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he is the best judge of how each utilizes that moral compass that was given to them. But to make that as an excuse and say, hey, we were just born as mushriks, so we're going to die as mushriks as well, that is an excuse that's not going to fly, because that is a false argument that is almost reducing a person into a cattle. You're just born as a cattle, you die as a cattle. Now you just follow the herd, so to say. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to. You see how Quraysh had all sorts of arguments and excuses, all of these as like ruses to stay away from the practice of faith. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them in a very beautiful, very conclusive way. Ayah number 151 is what you can say the 10 commandments of the Quran. What does the ayah say? The ayah says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Come, I will tell you what your Lord has really forbidden to you. Okay, this is an ayah you want to mark down. This ayah and the one after and the one after. 151, 52, 53. These three ayat you want to like highlight, because these are such beautiful, such powerful ayat that speak about the rules and the halal and the haram and the morality of Islam. Okay, what is that? Let's start with the most important thing. Allah tushriku bihi shay'a. Do not associate anything with him. Worship Allah alone, the one who made you, and the only one who made you is the only one you should worship. Wa bil walidayni ihsana, and be good to your parents. In fact, be excellent to your parents. The only ones who birthed you, be very good to them as well. Right? And the link between the two you can see. And also you can see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chose the parents for us. He is the one who chose our DNA. We didn't have a choice in it. Even if the parents were, you know, like an absent father or something, an abusive mother or something, there is a level of goodness or just a level of cordialness that we have towards them without incurring abuse on ourselves. That is to be given because they were chosen by Allah as our parents. Just for that reason and no other reason. And of course, if the parents were good and they did everything for their children, then hal jazaa'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan. What is the reward of good if not more goodness? Okay? Wa bil walidayni ihsana. Be good to your parents. Wa la taqtulu awladakum min imlaq. Do not kill your children for fear of poverty. Don't kill your children. This is actually not a precise translation. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. Don't kill your children due to poverty. Let's see if the other translation is better here. Do not kill your children. out of poverty. Okay, better. This is a little bit better. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. Do not kill your children out of poverty or due to poverty. Why? نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. We will provide for you and them. This is such an important thing. Don't ever think that you are going to run out of, you know, like, I'm not going to be able to sustain my child, so let me get an abortion. Sorry to say. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. We will provide for you and for them. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Because, by the way, this is not just this idea of killing the children, you know, out of poverty is it's immoral on many levels. It's selfish, number one. It's cowardly, number two. And it shows a complete lack of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a complete hopelessness about your situation. You're like, I'm a loser, so I'm just going to, you know, write off the problems of life by killing my children. Like, what an abominable attitude that is. Okay? وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Okay? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Do not approach immoralities, things that are immoral, what is apparent of them and what is concealed, immoral things, profanity, shamelessness, the industry that objectifies women, pornography, and everything related to that is fawahisha. Right? It's the singular phrase, it's fahisha. Poor is fawahish. From the word fuhush, something that, you know, is flowing and is something that it's like it's bursting through, right? That's the essence of immorality. It bursts through in its audacity. It's shocking to the system when you see it. All types of it is prohibited. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. This is a hard thing. This is an ongoing battle for us. But it is something that we have to battle. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not kill a soul which Allah has forbidden to be killed except by legal right. This is important. إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. بِالْحَقِّ here is, there is a right. The right here is a legal right. Okay? There's a legal right. If the person has done something and now legally it is right for them to lose their life, that's what this ayah is referring to. It's not referring ever to vigilante justice. Okay? ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. This has he instructed you that you may use. Okay? Look at the... you have to use your reasoning, your aql. Okay? Keep this in mind here, this ending. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Do not approach the orphan's property except in a way that is best until he reaches maturity. The orphan is easily exploitable. Don't exploit. Don't take advantage of this child. Okay? Don't take advantage. Don't exploit others, taking advantage of your power and position. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Give full measure and weight in justice. لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Do not be, you know, this idea, do not be cheats when you are doing business. You know, you're all pious and righteous at home and in the mosque, but you're a cheater outside the masjid. This doesn't add up. This doesn't square. Okay? لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. This life is not going to get too hard. These commands are not going to be to a point where you cannot bear them. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَاعْدِلُوا. You're capable of doing it. That's what Allah is reminding you. You can do it. Okay? You're built this way. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَاعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. And when you testify, be just, even if it concerns a near relative. Even if it is against your interests, your relative, someone who is close to you, do not falsely testify. Don't abuse the system and rig it. Okay, because then it's downhill. That's when, you know, justice collapses. That's when morality collapses. That's when society starts to collapse. Okay, وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. And the covenant of Allah fulfilled. This covenant that we made, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Fulfill that covenant. This, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ. This is what he has instructed you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Next, the first ayah ended by saying لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَقِلُونَ, so that you may use your reason. The next ayah concludes by saying لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, so that you may remember. Right? Because when you have processed something deeply, your aql, then you are able to remember it. You're able to understand it and say, yes, this makes sense. Dhikr is something that, you know, it's a, when you remember Allah, it's not like you don't know about who Allah is. You're reminding yourself. So tadhakkarun is, it, now you're able to remain mindful about this. Okay? Next ayah. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is my path, which is straight, so follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي. Do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from his way. Right? The religion is described as a road. A road to Jannah. And it's a road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the one who is guiding us on this road. Anything else, the, any other religion is like a deviation. It's not going to take you to your destination. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This has he instructed you so that you may become righteous. When you have understood, تَعَقِلُونَ, that's the first thing. Then you will be able to remember and not forget. And then you will be able to put it into action. تَتَّقُونَ, and acquire the fruit of your action, which is taqwa. You see how the three ayat are laid out so beautifully? This is how we are supposed to approach our religion. We have to understand the logic behind it first, the reasons behind it first and foremost. Then we are able to retain and understand. When the why is clear, then the how we will figure out. And then we will attain the fruit when we do it, of taqwa and goodness and righteousness. A very beautiful passage. I encourage you to mark this and study it again. The surah concludes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying a very powerful passage. Ayah number 158. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. Are they waiting for the angels or your Lord to come down to them, or for some of your Lord's signs to come? Like, what is it that they're waiting for before they believe? What exactly are you waiting for? Are you waiting for some, like, from God to descend from, you know, the heavens to show himself to you? And now you'll be like, yeah, there he is. Okay, I believe in him now, right? What are you waiting for exactly? يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. The day when some of the signs of your Lord shall come. لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا. It should not profit any human being. لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. It should not profit any human being who did not believe before or who did not do any good by his faith. قُلْ انْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ. Say to them, wait then, we too are waiting. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the signs of your Lord are not going to come, but they're going to come on one day. And that day is the day of judgment. And if what you see on that day of judgment, the signs of your Lord come, you see, at that point, saying, I believe in it now is going to be fruitless. Unless you believed in them before. Unless you believed in them before. Not profit anyone who did not believe in it before. Number one. And number two, look at the equivalency that Allah is making here. This is the key part. أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. Or who did not do any good by his faith. Someone who said, yeah, I believed in it, but their belief was just mere words. It didn't translate into any action. Both of those, the one who didn't believe and the one who said, yeah, I believe, but didn't do anything with that, are equated here as if they had no belief. That's what the Quran is saying, right? And the Quran is saying, if you wait so long as to either your life is about to end and you see the angel of death, it's not going to matter at that point. Or you wait so long, or you live at a point in time where you actually see the day of judgment occur, it's not going to, at that point, it won't count. You've missed the window. The time to do it is now, if while you're still alive and healthy and have agency. Okay? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Have nothing to do with those who have split up their religion into sects. Their case rests with God. He will tell them about what they used to do. People, like I told you, people are people. God's word is God's word. His religion and his revelation to his messenger is pure and it's you know, it's in its purest form. But people will be full of mistakes. People will do wrong things. Don't let the people turn you away from the truth of the message of God and His Messenger. Okay, من جاء بالحسنات فله عشر أمثالها. Because understand, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is the most kind and the most merciful. Whoever does a good deed will be repaid tenfold. ومن جاء بالسيئات فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. But those who do a bad deed will only be repaid with its equivalent, and they shall not be wronged. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, if you do something evil, Allah will only give you an equivalent punishment. But if you do something good, He will tenfold the reward. That's out of His grace and His mercy. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Say, my Lord has guided me to a straight path. دِينًا قِيَمًا, to an upright religion. قِيَمًا, this is the idea of this religion. It's supposed to uplift us. We're supposed to become upright, moral people after following it. مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا, the religion of Abraham, the upright, or the legacy of Ibrahim, the upright legacy of Ibrahim. That's what this is, religion. That's what this deen is about. It is a revival of the legacy of Ibrahim. It is an upright religion that gives you the most upright morality. It's the straight path. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, Abraham was not one of those who associated partners with God. Because the people of Makkah associated partners with God, and they're, you know, they associate themselves to Abraham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, you can't associate yourselves to him because he wasn't the way you are. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, my prayer and my sacrifice, my life, my death are all for God, the Lord of the worlds. It's such a beautiful dua. This is a beautiful dua. And highlight this and memorize this. And say this in your prayers. And say this during the day. And as a reminder to yourself. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika lahu. He has no partner. So I am commanded. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ. And I am the first of those who submit. And وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Okay. A very beautiful ending of the surah. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبِغِي رَبًّا. وَهُوَ رَبُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Shall I seek a Lord other than God while He is the Lord of all things? Everyone must bear the consequence of what he does. وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا. Can't just say, hey, I was born into a polytheistic society. Everyone must bear the consequence of what they do. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. And no bearer of a burden can bear the burden of another. No one's going to carry my sins. No one's going to carry your sins. My sins will not be forgiven because of someone else's sacrifice. And your sins will not be forgiven by my sacrifices or anybody else's sacrifices. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Then to your Lord you will return. Okay? Just like we were born as individuals, we'll go back to our Lord as individuals. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. And He will inform you of what you used to dispute about, the things about in the world that we disagreed with, religion, theology, etc., etc. He on that day will set the record straight. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. It is He who has made you successors on the earth and has exalted some of you over others in degrees of rank. This is Allah's choice. The way He set up the world, some people have more, others have less. Some have more privilege, others have less privilege. This is His choice. This is His choice. That's how He set the system up. That's how He set up the test. You don't go to the exam and question the examiner, why are you asking these questions? Okay? You're going to fail if you do that. Okay? This is how Allah has set up the test of life. He has made you, some of you, exalted over others in degrees, in rank. Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ, so that He may test you by that which He has given you. This is supposed to be a test of Allah. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُرُ الرَّحِيمِ. Your Lord is swift in punishment, yet surely He is forgiving and merciful. And His forgiveness and mercy is more, because there's a lamb here. That lamb is actually signifying more, right? Emphasis. There's no lamb here in Sari'ul Iqab, but there's a lam here in Ghafoor al-Rahim that tells you he is more forgiving and more merciful than he is swift in punishment. And that means that he is going to give us chances after chances in this life to get this test right. You will have your whole life to get this test right. You see? Because he is forgiving and merciful, but the test is still there. And he is still the one who's going to hold us accountable. Don't forget about those things. What a beautiful ending to this surah. Then the surah A'raf, surah number 7, begins with one of the huruf muqatta'at, alif, lam, mim, sad. Okay? And it has a nice, you know, the surah ended by saying Allah has made you successors, right? Successors of each other on the earth. And here we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Adam, because Adam was, you know, inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, was a successor on the earth, and the progeny of Adam are successors on the earth. So this beautiful segue into the story of Adam is here. There's also a very beautiful segue when it comes to you look at the previous surah. Surah An'am ended by saying, "My Lord has guided me to the straight path." And then this surah begins by saying, "This is a book that's been sent to you. Let there be no heaviness in your heart about it. It is so that you may warn, and it's a reminder for the believers. Follow what has been sent down to you by your Lord." This is what that straight path is, following the Quran and following the Sunnah. And do not follow any protector other than him. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. There's nobody else who is your protector. Only Allah is your protector. Okay. So this is Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7. This is a Meccan surah, a surah revealed in Mecca as well. Okay. And this surah has that its theme is truth versus falsehood, good versus evil from the beginning of time. From the beginning of time, this battle has been raging, or from the beginning of our time as humans, essentially. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first says something very interesting. He says, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We shall question those whom our message was sent to, and those through whom we sent it. The messengers will be questioned. Those who got the message will also be questioned on the day of judgment. Okay, this is the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we saw how he questioned Isa alayhi salam at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. This is the thing he's saying, that questioning is upon everybody. فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ, with full knowledge, and we shall tell them what they did, for we have never been away from them. Okay, the idea again of accountability is very clear, very, very clearly laid out in the Quran. The truth alone will be weight that day. Okay, wal waznu yawma idhin al-haq. This is one interpretation, or you can say the other interpretation, which is I think closer to the Arabic, is the weighing on that day will be truthful. Okay, there's going to be no one who will be shortchanged. Faman thaqulat mawazinuhu, the one whose scales are heavy, that person will be successful. Okay, their scales are heavy means that there's more goodness in their actions. Not that there's more actions. The actions are heavier. That's the key part. It's not about the quantity. It's actually about the quality. The quality is in the weight of the deed. And the quality of the deed, it depends on the sincerity of the person. How sincerely devoted they were when they were doing it. How heartfelt was that dua, that prayer when it came. The heaviness of the deed, or the value of the deed, the quality of the deed, is determined by how difficult it was. If you lived in the time of the Sahaba and you were praying 5 times a day, mashallah, pretty easy in a way, right? Because everybody's praying and you would have to go against the grain. But if you're living in the time, like maybe right now, it's hard to pray on time. It's hard to pray 5 times a day, you know, being very diligent. But if you do it, right, at this point, harder. If you're doing something harder, there is more quality there. The deed is heavier. So whose deeds are heavier on the day will be successful. We ask Allah to make us of these people. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, and those whose deeds, good deeds, are light in the balance, will be the ones who have lost themselves. خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, Who lost? They lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't lose anything. They lost themselves. Bima kanu bi ayatina yadhlimun, because they wrongfully rejected our signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that He has made Adam, right? And when He made Adam, khalaqnakum thumma sawwarnakum, right? This is kum. He created you and shaped you, but He's not talking about us. He's talking about our father, Adam alayhi salam, and He is representing us as humanity. Usjudu li Adam. Okay, the angels prostrated to Adam, illa Iblis, except Iblis, that's the name of the devil. Okay, lam yakun min as-sajidin. It's not that he was not an angel. He was such a great worshipper of Allah that he would hang out with the angels. Okay, and then he was asked, why did you not prostrate when I commanded you to do so? Right, this was also not like a sudden command. This was a command that Allah had given before. In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I'm going to make a successor on the earth. Everybody knew Adam was going to come. Okay, so it's not like Iblis on the spot was like, I'm not sure if I should do it or not. He had made up his mind before this command came. And when this command came, Adam finally came to the scene and the command of Allah came. Iblis was like, no, I'm not doing it. So Allah asked him, what prevented you from doing so? His response, Ana khayru minhu. I am better than he is. You created me from fire while you created him from clay, even though that logically makes no sense, right? Fire is not better than clay. I mean, it's an apples to oranges comparison. In a way, clay can be better than fire because clay can put out the fire, right? If you think about it. Okay, so ana khayru minhu, right? I am better. You made a mistake, O Allah. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Allah, you made a mistake. I should have been the one chosen for the angels to do such that to me, not Adam. Okay, and this is again that concept of that arrogance. This is what the Prophet warned us against. Batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nas, to reject the truth and to look down on people. That is where, that's the source of that evil that we see from Iblis. Also, like I mentioned in the story of the people of Quraysh, the people of Quraysh were like, hey, you know, like, this is, you know, this is how we are, right? We're just worshiping idols. That's how we were born, right? Again, to say, this is how I am, and I'm not going to be held accountable in any way. That was, in a way, what Iblis is saying. It's like, no, this is how I am. I'm not going to be doing any such that to him. I'm not going to change. Even if I'm hearing it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going to change. That right there was the downfall, that the character flaw that caused the downfall of Iblis. And that's the core of evil. That's really at the core of what evil is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to leave and get out from here. It's not your place to be arrogant. He asks, give me respite until the day of judgment. Let me live until the end of time. And Allah said, innaka minal munzareen, you are granted respite, and thus evil will exist until the end of time. This is the thing, evil will exist till the end of time because of Iblis and Allah giving him the respite to exist until the end of time. This is how he set up the test of life. This is how he set it up, and he's telling us about it so we are prepared to pass this test. He says, I'm going to misguide them, and I'm going to lie in ambush for them on your straight path. And I'm going to come from every place and every angle to misguide them. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And you will find most of them to be ungrateful. And Iblis actually is right. Most of the people are not grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I shall fill hell with those who follow you. You get out of here. Basically, this is what it is. But then he says to Adam, Adam, you and your wife dwell in the garden and eat and drink from there as you wish, but do not approach this tree, lest you become wrongdoers. The devil tempted them. And this is an interesting expression. Tempted them so that he might reveal to them their nakedness, which had been hidden from them. They were given heavenly clothes that covered them. It's not like they were oblivious to like their private parts. That's not what it is. They were given heavenly clothes. Okay. And then the devil knew, Iblis knew that when they would eat from this food, that those heavenly clothes will be removed from them. And now they'll be exposed and naked. Okay.
And that is a humiliation for them. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to humiliate Adam. Remember, Adam was the reason why he was humiliated. Now he wants to humiliate Adam. And this is his way of doing so. And as he is now, you would say, how is he able to be successful in this? He is saying, I am your well-wisher. Right? I'm not here. Like, I really mean well for you. فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. It's like a bucket that you draw out of a well, right? Slowly but surely, you pull the rope, eventually the bucket comes up. That's how he seduced them. But again, the accountability is on their shoulders because they're the ones who actually committed the action. In their minds, they justified it as, yeah, this is actually not so bad. Or maybe this is something that, you know, it's something that's good in it. Okay. When they tasted it, فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا, their nakedness became exposed to them and they started covering themselves with the leaves of the garden. This is the humiliation that Iblis wanted for Adam, and he got it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, was upset and asked, why did you do that? The response was, قَالَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Notice, by the way, the difference between the Quranic narrative and the biblical narrative. The Quran says, فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَ, they both ate. And then they both repented, Adam and Eve. It was not Eve only. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَّرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Very beautiful dua. Underline this one. Memorize this one and make this one. Such a powerful dua. Our Lord, we have wronged our souls. If you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we shall be among the ones who are lost. We will be the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent Adam down to the earth. But keep in mind, the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is a place of abode for you. And as we talked about in Surah Baqarah, it was made for us. Okay? And its life was at, is made, the earth was made as a place of, living and a place of test for us. فِيهَا تَحْيَوْنَا وَفِيهَا تَمُوتُونَ وَمِنْهَا تُخْرَجُونَ. Therein you will live and you will die and you will be raised up again. Now there's four times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam here. Okay? Ya Bani Adam. Four times this comes. Ayah number 26. Oh, children of Adam, what do you learn from this story? Number one, we have sent down clothes to you to cover your nakedness. Clothes are actually unique to humans. Like animals don't wear clothes. they have fur and whatnot. But this is a uniquely human thing. This is something that is very unique to human beings. Okay? To be pleasing to the eye. Right, it's to cover your nakedness, to cover up your that it's to be naked in public is humiliation. To cover yourself up and protect yourself from that, and then also the clothes are to make you look beautiful and pleasing. Okay, that's number one. Okay, number two, O children of Adam, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytan. Do not let Satan seduce you. Don't let him test you or tempt you, just as he tempted your parents out of the garden. كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Just like what he did to your parents, don't let him do that to you. Learn a lesson, okay? He deprived them of their garment in order to make them aware of their nakedness. He humiliated them. And if you follow his path, he will humiliate you as well. Again, notice the imagery of the humiliation by nakedness compared to dignity by clothing. This is by design, right? Because we're supposed to be dignified in through our clothes. And unfortunately, if you look at our society at large, it considers itself to be dignified by losing its clothes, which is, again, you could say Iblis has done his job really well. Ayah number 31. Speaks about as a third instance of that. Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O children of Adam, dress yourself properly whenever you are at worship. Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. Eat and drink, but do not be wasteful, for Allah does not love the wasteful people. The problem wasn't that Adam ate something. It wasn't the problem that Adam ate something. It was that he ate for something that is forbidden. So eat what's allowed and be thankful and don't waste. And enjoy. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ. Who has forbidden the adornment of God, which he has brought out for his servants, and the good, clean, and pure things? Who can forbid that? No one. this Allah has made good things for us. No one can say this is haram. That's crossing a line. We spoke about that yesterday, right? So don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to be restrictive. He wants us to be to enjoy all His goodness, but to be thankful and not be wasteful. Ayah number 35 is the fourth instance. Ya bani Adam, imma yatiyannakum rusulun minkum yaqussuna alaykum ayati. O children of Adam, but if messengers come from among yourselves reciting my revelations to you, then those that take warning and mend their ways, on such shall come no fear, nor will they grieve. And those who deny and scorn our revelation shall be the inmates of hell, wherein they shall remain forever. And this is the last lesson. Adam alayhi salam, being sent to the earth, he is the one who is starting the process of now revelation. Even though he was in heaven and he had, you know, learned from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, right? He is the one who's starting that chain of revelations, and from him will come all the prophets. And when they come, you are going to have to follow them. So a very beautiful four lessons from that story. Now there's a bunch of really stark scenes from the Day of Judgment here. I'll take a few minutes just to point them out. Okay. Look at this ayah number 37. I'm going to pick up on the very end here. Okay. The people who are now entering hellfire. Ayah number 38, excuse me. Enter the fire and join the bands of jinn and men that have gone before you. This is a scene of a person who, again, had rejected the messengers, rejected the truth. Okay. And this is, as we will see, they're not just like born in the wrong religion. They chose to reject. They chose to not pursue their moral compass. Now, every time a host enters the fire, it will curse its fellow host. And then when they're all gathered there, the last of them will say to the first, "Our Lord, it was they who led us astray. Give them double punishment in the fire." They will blame their forefathers. It's like, "Oh Allah, they were polytheists, and that's why we're polytheists." As if they had no agency themselves, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, these people are in the fire of hell now. He will say, "Qala li kullin dhi'f." Every one of you will have double punishment, though you do not know it. You see how that is not an excuse that's going to fly, right? That is not an excuse that's going to fly. Okay. Another very important scene from the Day of Judgment. Ayah number 42. The people who's done well, amanu amilu salihat, believed and done good deeds, they are the heirs of the garden and they will remain there forever. And Allah reminds us, we do not burden any soul more than it can bear. This life is not going to be so hard. You can't cope at all. You're able to do it. That's what Allah tells us. You're built for it. Okay. And when you're in Jannah, look at this beautiful, beautiful image. We shall remove whatever rancor they may have in their hearts. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. There is no evil intent. There's no rancor. There's no beef. Nothing between people. That is a piece of Jannah. They would say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha. All praise is to God who guided us to this. And had God not guided us, we would not have found our way. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. The messengers of our Lord brought us the truth. And a voice will call out to them, "This is the garden that you have inherited by your labors." Okay, I'm going to skip to the people of A'raf. That's what the surah is named after. Ayah number 46. This is on the Day of Judgment. People who don't have enough good deeds to enter paradise, but are not sinful enough to enter hellfire. It's like they break even. So they are now sitting on this place called the A'raf, the heights. And they know, يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. They recognize each group by their marks. They know the good people and they know the bad people, because they've been hanging out with the good people and they've been hanging out with the bad people just equally, right? Just as equally. So they know all of the both sides. And now they are making dua, "Oh Allah, please let us go into paradise." لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. They're hoping, okay? And what will be the end result of these people, right? The end result of these people would be is that they will be told, "Udkhulul Jannah," enter paradise, no fear shall come upon you, nor shall you grieve, out of Allah's mercy. Okay, This is not condoning that behavior where you spend a little bit of your time doing good and a little bit of time of your time doing evil. But this is a scene to show, yeah, you don't want to be in this stressful situation on the Day of Judgment. You don't want to be here. Okay? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescues people, but why you're taking the chance of your eternity on something like this? Okay. So this is that. Now we have ayah number 58. I'm going to just quickly conclude with this, inshallah. And then we'll end with that. Ayah 58 sets up the surah that's going to come afterwards. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِذَا. Vegetation comes out of good land in abundance by the will of its Lord, but out of bad land only scantily. Look at the image here. Good land produces lots of good in abundance, and bad land produces almost nothing. This is the image for the hearts of the believers. The good heart of a person will produce goodness and in abundance, and a person with an evil heart, right, one deprived of faith, the foundation of iman, will produce good scantily. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَشْكُرُونَ. Thus we explain our signs in diverse ways for those who give thanks. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the stories of prophets first time. He's going to mention the stories of prophets. Nuh alayhi salam from ayah 59 to ayah 64. Okay. Then Hud alayhi salam, ayah number 65 to ayah number 72. Then Thamud, right? To Samud, their brother, Salih alayhi salam, ayah number 73 to ayah number 79. Okay, then Lut alayhi salam, ayah 80 to ayah 84. And then Shu'aib, ayah 85 to the next juz, ayah 93. We're going to talk about Shu'aib alayhi salam tomorrow, but quickly, I want to just touch on one thing. Okay, I keep saying that. So look at this. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala setting up the stage for the battle between good and evil. And now he's going to give examples of good versus evil. Good versus evil is personified by prophets. That's the good. And the evil is personified by the ones who oppose the prophets. Okay? And look at this. The prophet of Allah, Nuh, he says, "O my people, worship God. You have no God but He." Okay? The prophet of Allah, Hud, says, ayah number 65, he says, "O my people, worship God. You have no God but He." اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. The Prophet of Allah, Salih, says what? قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. O my people, worship God. You have no other God but Him. You see the theme here is all the prophets came with the same message. They all came preaching worship Allah alone. It doesn't matter what language they spoke. It doesn't matter what part of the world they were in. They all said the same thing. Only Allah should be worshipped. Then also notice the mala, the leading men of his people. Mala is people who've concentrated power and influence. They would be the ones who are opposed because they lose power and influence when the prophet comes on the scene. It's not the king. It's not the malik. It's not the king who is saying this. It's the influential, powerful people. They have the problem. It's the think tanks. It's the people who see this as a problem to their own gains. Okay? So they are mentioned here as well. And inshallah ta'ala, we are going to talk. We're going to cover the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam tomorrow. Shu'aib alayhi salam is the prophet that's mentioned at the very end here in ayah number 85. And the other prophets, their story will come back around again and again. In the Quran, not for the sake of just like a mere repetition, but it is coming for the sake, like each time it comes, it brings about a new flavor. So we'll cover those at those other points. Today, I really wanted to cover the story of Adam and Iblis and tie it together with the story of, or the Surah An'am, the one before it. And I hope inshallah this was beneficial. Jazakumullah khair, everybody, for coming out. I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.